Welcome back to 20s Toolbox here on WDIY. A warm hello to those joining us for the first time. My name is Grace Mansfield, and I am your host tonight. Tonight's episode is all about something that can feel a little both inspiring and overwhelming, building a vision for your life. Maybe you're sitting there and you've just graduated. Maybe you're working a job that doesn't really feel quite you. Or maybe you're simply asking yourself, what am I even doing right now? Trust me, I get it. I've asked myself that same question millions of times. It's a lot of pressure to figure it all out. But here's the truth. Your 20s aren't about having this five-year plan that's set in stone. They're about dreaming big, learning from your mistakes, and laying down the foundation of a life that reflects who you are, not who everyone else says you should be. Tonight, we're going to dive into how to create a meaningful vision for your life, even when things feel uncertain or unclear, especially then. And my guest tonight is a master at just that. I'm so excited to welcome Ann Baum to the show. Ann is the president of Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital, where she leads strategic planning and operations for the first and largest children's hospital in the Lehigh Valley region. Ann has been a longtime community volunteer and leader who has served on various boards, including the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, Valley Youth House, United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley, and the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, among many, many others. She has received numerous awards, including PA Best 50 Women in Business, Athena International, Girl Scouts Take the Lead Award and Governance Award, Lehigh Valley Business, Women of Influence and Circle of Excellence, Chamber Volunteer of the Year, United Way Campaign Volunteer, Women United Philanthropists of the Year, Boy Scouts of America Mincy Trails Council Distinguished Citizen, Association of Fundraising Professionals Outstanding Philanthropists, and the YWCA of Bethlehem Golden Laurel Award. Ann earned her BS in biology from the University of Illinois and her MS in health systems management from Rush University. She is certified by the Protocol School of Washington as a protocol and etiquette consultant, and she is the author of the books Small Mistakes, Big Consequences, Develop Your Soft Skills to Help You Succeed, and Small Mistakes, Big Consequences for Interviews. Ann, I'm so excited to have you here today and get to talk to you and learn a little bit more about you and your journey here.
Well, thank you. I'm so honored to be here and really looking forward to this topic because it's an important one.
Definitely. And you're the perfect person to talk to about it. So
thank you.
Would you be able to start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what your life looks like right now?
So what my life looks like right now is I play a lot of roles, as all of us do. Right now, my primary roles are obviously my job, president of Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital, which is an honor to serve in that role. I'm also a daughter to an 88-year-old mom who's hanging in there, chugging along. I'm a wife, I'm a mom to two adult children, and an aunt, and a friend, and a sister to two brothers. And there are many roles that I play. And one of the key things is to figure out, how do I be present in each one of those when I am doing that thing? And it's probably one of the hardest things to do, but I encourage you and all of your audience to really think about, when you're doing whatever you're doing at the time, whatever that role is you're playing, do that. The idea of multitasking, as much as I love to say I'm a great multitasker, it's just not true. It's really not a possible thing. So be present in the moment, give that role, that person, those people you're with, that full attention that they deserve, and it will pay off in the long run.
That's a great way to start tonight's episode, because I think building a meaningful vision for your life starts with being present, right? Mm-hmm. So that's great advice to start us off. Would you be able to talk a little bit about how you got to where you are today, you know, kind of the road to president of Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital? Were there any experiences or moments that you had that, you know, kind of helped you build this vision for your life?
Absolutely. I would say that every step that I took in my career led me to this place. And I know on the air you can't see my hand moving, but it's moving in a zigzag, because if you had asked me 20 years ago if I would be in this place, if you had asked me, would I like to be in this place, in this role, I would have said, wow, that would be a dream come true. But I didn't necessarily know the route to get there. So how did I get there? Well, I started right out of grad school as a consultant. And the great thing about being a consultant is you learn a lot about many different topics. And I was always interested in healthcare. So I was a healthcare consultant. I then learned within that that I had a skill for the business side and an interest in the business side of healthcare. So I went from a consulting role to working here locally at building a provider-owned health plan. And then I went from there to owning my own business for 8 years.
Wow.
And the reason I did that was, one, it helped me with balance at the time. It was an opportunity for me to learn new skills. And then from there, I had a call one day from a board member at Capital Blue Cross, and they said, would you be interested in this particular role? Would you be interested in talking with us? Now, I could have said no, but I said, sure, why not? Because what did it hurt to hear about this opportunity? And that next step turned out to be another great, perfect match. And I used the skills from my consulting and from setting up the health plan and my own business to learn more in this role at Capital Blue Cross. And then as I really was, I didn't know it at the time. In retrospect, I look at the Capital Blue Cross role and I said, wow, I've really done all the things that they asked me to do and I set out to do in this role. And I was invited to this role at Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital. Could I have said no to that meeting, which wasn't about a job? It was about a whole different topic. Could I have said no? Of course. But I didn't. So my advice is keep all of your options open. What does it hurt to take the meeting, to hear about an opportunity? What does it hurt to apply for a job that sounds really cool, but you're not sure you're qualified for? It hurts nothing. And there may be an opportunity that's falling right into your lap that you otherwise would have missed. So I think the way I got to this point was being open to relationships, keeping relationships, and being open to trying new things.
Kind of looking at your life, did you always kind of have a clear vision for your life, or kind of has it evolved and changed over time?
It has 100% evolved. I know there are some people that they know from when they are a child exactly what they want to do and they pursue that. But I really think that's the exception versus the rule. I, over time, have learned to try a lot of different things and really find where my skills are best suited, and also to recognize where there are other people that are better at that particular skill set or that particular role, and help encourage them to help me be successful. So we're successful as a team, as a group, as opposed to trying to be the jack of all trades. You really can't do that. You can know a lot about many things, but also know where your talents lie versus where the talents of others are better suited.
Yeah, I think that's a great reminder for everyone who's trying to be everything to everyone. It's a great reminder to myself. I'm often trying to be that jack of trades to all people and kind of have to slow myself down and say, well, you're really good at this thing. You may not really be good at this thing. And, you know, that's okay.
And that's okay, right? Mm-hmm. Because we all have our talents, and recognizing that and then really pursuing those, that's when you start really hitting your groove.
Absolutely. What kind of helped you begin building a vision for your life? Was there a specific moment or turning point where you kind of figured it all out, or maybe you're still figuring it out?
I am still figuring it out. I am always trying to be very introspective and think how I can show up as the best version of myself in any situation. So there's some key elements to that. One, always operating with integrity, being open and honest with people, then hearing from them and truly listening to where they're coming from. Not imposing my will or my opinion on others, even when you really want to, but trying to be my best version. And then if that doesn't work for the other person, you have to let it go. And that's probably the hardest thing. I am very much of a people pleaser. I want to deliver to anybody that I engage with exactly what they dream of accomplishing, but you can't do that. And being your best version, helping people to the extent of your ability, and then knowing that from that point it's up to them, it's hard, yeah, but it's really, really hard. Important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Really hard, but really important at the same time. You wrote a book, as I mentioned in your bio. It's called Small Mistakes, Big Consequences: Develop Your Soft Skills to Help You Succeed. And in that book, you talk about the top 16 business mistakes that people make without realizing the consequences of those mistakes. Would you be able to share a little bit about that book, maybe how it came about and how it plays into our topic tonight?
Of course. I have always had a real interest in how behavior impacts success. And I saw examples where people were doing things that were just getting in their way, but they weren't things that others would tell them. They might talk about it behind their back and say, oh, so-and-so does this. But they weren't the type of things that people came right out and told them. And there were things that I did, too, that I learned that were getting in my way. My goal with the book was to put these behaviors in a humorous but serious character so that people could say, oh gosh, I am being that character. I'm being the transmitter. The transmitter is the person who just talks and you can't even get a word in edgewise and they never listen. So I put the character down, the bad behavior, but I also included the cure that said, well, if you don't want to be this person, here's what you can be. So the cure for the transmitter is be a great listener. And my goal with it was to really share these ideas with people so they could avoid making these mistakes and have a better chance of success.
Yeah, that's such a great topic. I love that so much. I think it is something that's really needed in the world today. It goes back to, you know, your whole mission of trying to be introspective and reflective. And so that's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Kind of talking a little bit more about that, are there some habits, tools, questions that kind of helped you get clarity on what you want in life and helped you build this vision?
That is such a great question. I think one of the most valuable tools to me has been various mentors. People that I worked with on projects together that we could be really honest with one another. We could ask one another for feedback. And together, we were better because that person, that mentor, brought skill or knowledge to the table. But I felt like I did as well. And together, our power was greater because we were able to leverage the gifts that each one brought to the table. Having mentors, whether it's a formal mentor program or just really good friends that you can bounce ideas off of, or people that are willing to help you along the way, give you that piece of advice that you really need, but maybe don't want to hear, those people are gold. They can make a huge difference. So I would say really great friends and mentors have helped me in turning points along the way in my career. They make me stronger, and I hope that I also made them stronger in the process.
Absolutely. You've talked a lot of, so far about working in teams. Has that enhanced your mission to build a vision for your life?
Well, back to the earlier comment about no one can do it mm-hmm. on their own. It does take time to actually own that and say, all right, the only way to get something done is by building a team, whether that's a team within your friends, teams within your family, your workplace, the community. Everybody brings something to the table. Assembling those talents together, again, makes for a stronger team and ultimately a better solution. One person, me, I have one set of experiences, one perspective, one frame of reference. That's fine, but it's not great. When you collaborate with others and their frame of reference contributes and you get all those different perspectives, that's when you get to successful solutions.
Absolutely. And if everybody had the same point of view or the frame of reference, the world would kind of be a little bit boring and everybody would kind of be the same. No one would be unique.
It's so true. Whenever I think of if everybody were the same, I think of the stormtroopers in Star Wars, right?
Yes.
That would be terrible. Mm-hmm. Nothing, everybody would look the same, no interesting opinions. People would just do what they're told. That's not who we are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You talked at the beginning about all these different roles you play. We all play so many different roles in our life. So how do you stay grounded and aligned with your mission to build a vision for your life when you're playing all those roles, when things get hard, when things feel uncertain? How do you balance it all?
Balance is a tricky term. There is no formula. There's no magic formula. I'm sorry. I wish there were. If I could say, oh, well, if you just do this, this, and this. There's no magic formula for balance. I think the key to balance is establishing what your priorities are and then weighing what you're doing on any given day, frankly, on any given hour, to match up with those priorities. And your priorities will change at different stages in your life. So when you're younger and pursuing your college degree, that's a priority, and you think through how you prioritize within that. If you then decide to go on and have a family, when you first have a child, for example, your priority is keeping that child alive. That's a whole different priority than how do I stack my schedule so I graduate in 3.5 years, right?
Yeah.
Or
what's
going to be my next degree that I pursue or the next book that I write?
Mm-hmm.
Each stage of your life, you have different priorities. And when you establish those priorities, those are what help build your balance. And sometimes those priorities come into conflict, and that's when you need your team.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It all ties together.
Yeah, whether it's your family team, whether it's your friend team, your work team, that's how you balance out when those priorities are coming into conflict.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This show, it's all about, you know, learning how to navigate life. And this is such a great topic for the 20-somethings and young adults. So what would you say to someone in their 20s who, you know, has this drive to create a vision for their life, but just doesn't know where to start?
First of all, I would line up, make a list of 50 or 100 things that if money were no object, if there weren't any barriers, you would love to do in your life. No limits. And then start to group those things together and think about what are the common themes. And how do you start to get there? I think it's really easy to talk yourself out of risk and fun ideas and crazy thoughts. And when you're young, that's the time to think through that plan. So put that list together and then start thinking about what are the top 10 right now? And then you start checking things off. And let's say one of your things on that list is, I would like to have a beach house. And you might think, I could never have a beach house. They're ridiculously expensive. Well, what does it take to have a beach house? Talk to a financial planner. What would you have to do starting today to get to the point where you could have a beach house? Or maybe you want to own your own business. Start your own business. Maybe you want to write a book. Put those big dreams out there and then start to learn what it takes to do those things. And when they're accessible to you, try it. Try lots of things. Keep trying. Some of them you'll be great at. Others you'll say, well, I'm not going to be a singer or I'm not going to be an artist, but I'm really great at writing books. Or I'm really great at doing a podcast. So try different things. Put those dreams out there and see what sticks.
That's an incredible exercise. I love that so much. Definitely going to be doing that later today.
Great.
And I think what you said about it all being connected, I'm sure it is, just like writing everything down and being like, oh, actually this thing and this thing go together. And actually this thing and doing this thing will help me get to this other thing. So it would be interesting to see how everything is all connected.
And I'll be interested in your list.
If you could go back in time and give your younger self a piece of advice about building a life you're just head over heels in love with, what would you say to yourself?
Well, I would say to myself, I have two things. First of all, I would say to myself, keep doing what you're doing because right now I'm head over heels about where I am. That being said, I would have encouraged myself to be more of a risk taker, to buy a beach house when the price was probably a third of what it is now. That seemed like a lot, but I didn't know how to do that. I would have encouraged myself to be more courageous in speaking up and pursuing dreams and not letting people talk me out of them. But that being said, I am not disappointed at where I am right now at all.
Yeah, I love that so much. What kind of life are you intentionally building now? And is there things you're looking forward to in the future? Are you planning on writing another book?
I would love to write another book. I probably have 10 more books in my head. And probably the biggest challenge is prioritizing the time to get them out of my head onto paper or obviously into my computer. If you have something that matters to you and you think you have a talent for it, make the time to do it. It is very easy to prioritize all sorts of other things ahead of that and leave that special side gig or side hustle by the wayside because you've labeled it the side hustle. If you love something, do it. Find a way. And the only person that can do that is you. So I'm saying this to myself. Mm-hmm. Yes, do I have multiple books in my head? Do I need to prioritize getting them out? Yes. It's easy to avoid it for fear of failure, fear that you're prioritizing your thing over something else that's more important. You can figure it out. You just put that priority list together and build that thing that you're passionate about into that priority list.
Exactly. So we've been talking a lot about how to build a vision for your life, but I haven't asked you yet, what is the vision for your life?
It's such a great question. My vision is to be a trustworthy, enthusiastic, passionate contributor to society. Somebody that helps others when they need it and makes anywhere that I've been a little bit better, if I possibly can.
That's beautiful. And just from this conversation, I can tell you that I can see that in you, and you have excelled in that.
Thank you.
And you have built this vision for your life that is beautiful and wonderful, and you are completely head over heels in love with it. And it's something I hope I aspire to. I hope my audience aspires to. And I'm just so excited to have had you here today. This has been a great conversation.
Well, thank you for having me.
Before we wrap up today, I do have one final question for you that I ask all my guests, and it's like my favorite part of the episode, hearing all these answers. Reflecting on your career, what's the best advice you've ever received? It could be about anything.
The best advice that I received was that when you're invited to a meeting, you're invited to be on a committee, a board, a meeting at work, whatever it is, you were invited there for a reason. And you should speak up. Whether you're the youngest person in the room, whether you're the only person of your kind in the room, you are there because someone invited you. And what you, me, owe back to that group is to participate. And so often we get invited and we think, oh, everybody else in the room knows more than me. I don't know why I'm here. And we sit quietly. So speak up. Share your opinion. Ask your questions. There's no dumb question. If somebody makes you feel like you asked a dumb question, that's on them, not you. So participate. Be engaged. You're there for a reason.
That is definitely something I have to learn. Even just something as simple as sitting in a college classroom and just thinking, like, I signed up for this class, obviously. I want to take this class. And just kind of sitting there being like, well, I don't feel like I have anything to offer. Definitely teaching myself that lesson of, you know, I took this class, here for a reason, definitely should speak up and just contribute. And, you know, what happens, happens. And, you know, I'm there for a reason.
And you'll learn, no matter what happens, by speaking up, you'll learn more. Other people in the room will learn more. Everybody will be better for it.
Yes, exactly. Well, Anne, this has just been incredible. I'm out of words for how thankful I am that you are here. You've just been a wonderful guest, giving me so much great advice. On my audience, such great advice, an exercise to do later when we get home. But that's it for tonight's episode, everyone. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this conversation reminded you that building a vision for your life does not have to happen all at once. In fact, it shouldn't. It's a process, and it's utterly yours to define. No one else should tell you what your life is supposed to look like. It's truly yours. Whether you're in a season of clarity or maybe you're just flat out confused right now, just know that it all counts. Every decision and every detour is all part of the bigger picture that you're creating. Lean into your journey of becoming, because that's exactly where you're meant to be. You've been listening to 20s Toolbox. I'm Grace Mansfield, here with Anne Baum. Thanks again for being here, everyone. I will see you next time.